Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. You can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you, talk with you tonight. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get started here with a word of prayer and make some announcements and things, and we'll get into a couple of things here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless, watch over us, Lord. Use us for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do here tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight, and a little chilly out there right now. 27 degrees when I got out of my car here at the studios in Independence, Ohio. Roads were fine, though. A lot better than they were last week, I think, when we were here. But certainly pretty good out there right now. Actually, last Friday. That's a lot better than I was here last Friday afternoon. I was thinking about that last week, wasn't too bad. But last Friday when I came in for the radio program on Friday afternoon, and of course we're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, roads were kind of sloppy out there, and it was snowing and everything like that, so it's a lot better than it was then. But where you're at, you're able to stay warm and stay here with us on the radio. Or if you have trouble catching us on the radio, you can always go online to whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. And you can listen to the programming here at AM 1220, The Word, online at whkwradio.com. I know that frequently when I'm listening, my radio gets a bit of static and all. Where I'm at in Richfield, I get picked up with, or I get interference with some different things. And so sometimes if I want to listen to AM 1220, The Word, or our sister station, AM 1420, The Answer, I find it easier to go to their websites and listen online, or on my cell phone. I can use the app. You can find those apps for either 1420 or 1220. But if you go to their website, you can find that out. It's whkwradio.com or whkradio.com for 1420. But after advertising all the other radio programs and things like that, I want to remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you will find out more information about me. You can also find out information about our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can go there, and you can also find some of our social media that we're on. There's a link there. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. On the left, there's a number of social media sites that we try to put stuff on. And then, of course, you can also see some comments on some different things. But if you scroll down on the right side, you'll see our past programs. And just looking at it right now, I'm up to date as of last Sunday. I don't have this past Friday on yet, but we're up to date to Sunday, January the 8th on there. And you'll notice on the Sunday listing there, it's in yellow boxes. You will see, for instance, here's 8 January 23 hour 1. And then underneath that, 8 Jan 23 hour 2. And yes, I know, I put the day, then the month, then the year. We had to do that when I was in the Air Force. I like that. Makes a lot more sense than month, day, year to me. Because after all, it's a logical order. It goes from least to greatest, the day, the month, the year. To me, that's much more sensible than going from the middle size, the month, to the least, which is the day, to the most, which is the year. But regardless, you'll see that there, and you can listen to either hour one or hour two, or you can listen to both of them, but we have them separated by hours, and that way makes it easier if you want to listen. Also, alongside of that is a column of green boxes, and that's where our Friday programs are posted, and you'll see them. Our most recent Friday, it's up to January 6th, and so you'll see them there. And then, of course, you'll find links to some other things, some booklets that I've written, comments and such. And if you scroll down far enough on the right, there's a couple other things you can look at, check out, listen to. And then finally, there's a whole section of articles. And you can look at the various articles that are listed there. And that links you to another page that has more articles. And I gotta hopefully put some time in this week catching that up to get our December. I do a newsletter for our church, and I try to do an article each month, so I've got to get our one for December in there. And that also has to be, I think you can link to that. I'm just looking at my comments in the center. You can find that article. There it is. Christmas Tree or Idolatry. But I have a new article, and the new article is a look at First John chapter 5 and verse 7. And you can find that there. Can you trust 1 John 5, 7 in your Bible? And I'm not going to get into all that right now. Maybe later in the program, if we get to it, or in a later program, we'll spend some more time in it. But I look at the controversy behind whether or not what's called the Johannine comma. Doesn't that sound like it's a nice technical term there? But it's the part in the King James Bible that says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And some Bibles do, in fact, most of the modern versions do not have that, and the claim is that it was a later edition, doesn't belong there. But yet, a wealth of early Christian writings from 2nd, 3rd, 4th centuries and all that have it there and refer to it. And so we look at that in that article. So maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on tonight or perhaps in a future program. But in the meanwhile, let me remind you, you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. You can call us tonight at 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. A lot going on in the world. I'll touch on a number of things as we go on during the course of the evening. Having 2-hour program now is kind of nice because I can bring in some more information, but there are a couple of things that I do want to mention before we get to our callers. And one of them is to continue to pray for the United States House of Representatives. We have seen some absolutely tremendous things happening there. Again, if you've been listening to the program, you know we're not talking about it being a crisis of faith. There's some tremendous things happening there. We'll touch on some of that more later in the program as well. And then also the Ohio House. And this is where we're seeing some really concerning events playing out. And so pray for the U.S. House. And of course, here in Ohio, pray for the Ohio House down in Columbus and the situation that's going there, where we had the 22 Democrats that basically stabbed the rest of the Democrats and the Ohio voters that voted for the I'm sorry, I said Democrats, didn't I? I think I've been saying Democrats. Republicans. Maybe that's a Freudian slip because they're acting like Democrats. The 22 Republicans that stabbed the remainder of the Republicans in the back over the vote for the Speaker of the Ohio House. They had a caucus back in December and decided on Derek Marin, and then 22 Republicans in a coup turned against him, turned against the rest of the Republican supermajority, turned against the people of Ohio who voted for them. And they enlisted the support of 32 Democrats, and they were successful in electing, instead of Derek Marin, they brought in Stevens, and he is Jason Stevens. He is basically a left-leaning Republican, and this is causing problems. And so we'll had some new information that took there, but or in regards to that, that I was going to share. I was at a meeting this past Saturday morning. Yesterday morning. It's hard to believe it's been only yesterday. But apparently there are some well-heeled Republican donors in the state that are pledging essentially whatever it takes financially in order to primary the 22 Republicans that stabbed the rest of them in the back. And I mean, even if they're not successful in unseating all 22 of them, this does show that they're not going to just get away with it. It is going to cost them, and many of them may be in for a tremendous fight trying to retain their seat or to get elected into another position in 2 years' time. So pray for the Ohio State House, and maybe over the course of the evening we may talk about that a little bit more as well. I spent some time on that on Friday's program, I believe, as well, too. But anyway, lots going on, and then, of course, you know, the ever-unfolding I don't know how I want to call it, but I remember back a few months ago, Joe Biden referring to Donald Trump and having classified documents in Mar-a-Lago, even though they were in a secure facility, had Secret Service protection, and even when the facility was examined by government representatives, I don't know if it was archives or whoever was there, they did not say they couldn't be there. They said, upgrade the locks, you know, make them a little more secure. And they did that, and then came in later on in November and tried to pretend that they were illegally held there, and without getting into all the details, Joe Biden came out and said, it's absolutely irresponsible for somebody to treat classified material that way. Well, let's see. How many different places are we finding the classified documents that apparently Joe Biden squirreled away as vice president, or when he left the vice presidency, that have been sitting around in unsecured facilities for the last umpteen years, some at Penn State, some in his garage. Well, I'm sorry, it was a locked garage. His garage was locked, so it must be okay. Like, nobody can pick a lock. And then in his home, in his library, found one. Now, apparently, not only have they found one in there, I guess there's evidence now that they've actually found five more classified documents in Biden's library. And as I said last Friday, I personally have handled thousands of classified documents. I've handled thousands of SCI documents. I do know a thing or two. I spent 3 years in the Air Force handling classified documents. I know a thing or two about how they should be handled. And, you know, the numbers keep growing. So question then, of course, is what's happening here? Is Biden about to be thrown under the bus? Are they preparing to jettison Biden from the presidency and getting ready to move on? I don't know. And most people speculating on it don't know either. But There's a lot of speculation. We need to pray for our country because we are certainly living in interesting times. A year ago, we didn't think that 2022 could be any worse than 2021. We didn't think 2021 could be any worse than 2020. Well, I'm here to say 2023 is going to be worse than any of them, I think, the rate things are going. I hope you'll stay tuned. And I hope you'll stick with us, and I hope that together, maybe as we go through these things and we look at what the Bible has to say and relate it to some of these things, as well as plenty of other things. There's a lot of other things out there that we can talk about. We don't have to talk about those things. I don't personally follow sports. I follow politics. That's my sport, I guess I can say. I like politics, and I like the Bible, and so makes me great fun at parties, want to talk about religion and politics, you know, the two things you're not supposed to talk about. Maybe that's why I don't get to parties, but so if I talk about politics too much, give a call and bring up a Bible question, and we'll get off from the looking at politics in light of God's Word, and we'll look at a Bible question, because that's what our theme is, after all. Questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We don't have to do just one. We can do both, or we can do one or the other, and it's your opportunity to give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy, who's our first caller tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Yeah, good evening.
You took the words out of my mouth when you said it's possible they're throwing Biden under the bus. When all of a sudden, I mean, he supposedly had these documents for years.
Well, they know he had them for years. In fact, they knew last November all these. Yeah, I was going to say all these documents that they're supposedly just finding. Oh, last November is when they were looking at them. They know they're there. Oh. They're just dribbling them out. It makes you wonder why.
I had my own little conspiracy theory, which obviously isn't right after you tell me these facts. I was thinking maybe they planted all these documents there because they're going to get rid of Biden as far as being a presidential candidate. And it's just, you know, everything they do, you know, I don't like to generalize, but it seems like the demon rat, everything you do is underhanded. You know, like if that was true, then they are violating some of the commandments, like do not lie. I'm trying to think some of the I thought of three of them, but I can't think of them right now. But they violate the Ten Commandments constantly. I know we're not living under the law,
yeah,
but we are supposed to try to follow the Ten Commandments. But that's what I was going to ask you about. Doesn't it look really suspicious that all of a sudden they're coming out with, trying to incriminate him with these documents when, as you said, Trump had secured documents and he had the right to have documents because as a president, you can classify documents. But
and declassified documents.
He was a vice president. He didn't have the authority.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah,
the whole thing just looks so suspicious to me.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is, as president, Donald Trump had the ability to declassify anything he wanted to, because he is a classification authority. Now, as vice president, Joe Biden did not have that ability. And somebody might say, well, as president now, he can do that. Well, the documents were removed when he was vice president. And so they've been sitting around in a cardboard box in his garage. They've been sitting around in a desk drawer somewhere in his library there in Pennsylvania, the University of Pennsylvania or whatever it is, Penn State, University of Pennsylvania, whichever. totally unsecured, and we don't know how many times they've been moved before they wound up in those places. We don't know how many people may or may not have had access to those documents in those locations, but clearly it's a breach of the law, and it's it's to me, having handled that type of material for several years and having to know how to properly account for it, it's just beyond me. And yet, and I don't want to nominate you for a seat on The View, but they actually this past week were speculating, like you said, that it was planted. Only, you ready for this? They said that the Republicans planted them.
Oh, that's a good one.
These people are nuts.
Yeah, I think they're sort of like a comedy club when you look at The View. I mean, they're so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Getting back to the idea that they're bringing all this out about having all these classified documents all over his car and his garage and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their ultimate goal, from just guessing, that they don't want him as president. Now my question is, who do you think they really want? Do you think they want Newsom or Hillary Clinton?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and I can remember a gentleman in our church. He's with the Lord now. When Barack Obama was occupying the Oval Office, he said, you know, Joe Biden, who was vice president at the time, he said, that's Barack Obama's insurance policy. And everybody would laugh because he would say, who would want him for president? Everybody would get a good chuckle out of it. Well, now we've got him. And if he were with us today, I'm sure he would have been saying, you know, Kamala Harris is Joe Biden's insurance policy. Who would want her for president? And everybody get a good chuckle.
Huh? Yeah, I heard that idea, and I think that was brilliant.
Yeah,
the worst vice president you can think of, and then nobody would want to get rid of him.
Yeah,
so they'll just keep him in for the whole 4 years.
Well,
and then decide what they're going to do.
Now, here's something that's interesting in the way the succession to the presidency goes, and people say, well, you know, why are we concerned about this? I mean, isn't God in control? Yes, he is, but, you know, First Timothy chapter 2, there in the beginning of the chapter, sorry, verse 1 and all, you know, that Paul tells us that we are to pray for those who are in authority, and you have to know what's going on to be able to effectively pray for them, that we could lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. And then he goes into the following verses to indicate it's so that we can do the work of the Lord and reach people with the gospel. And so we need to know what's going on and how to best pray for them. And so that's one of the reasons we talk about these things. But also, it's
right.
Also...
Can I just add,
yeah.
just add one thing? Not mm-hmm. only pray for them, but know enough about who to vote for next time.
Yeah, or who not to vote for, as the case may be.
Not just pray, but be informed as to what these people are really doing so mm-hmm. you know how to, biblically vote next time.
Right. And that way we can more effectively target our prayers and such. And like you said, know who to vote for and all. And so what we're looking at now, Joe Biden been forced out of the presidency before now, and Kamala Harris would have, as vice president, become president, she would not have been able to run for re-election. Or, well, let me put it this way. She could have ran, as I understand it, she could have run one time on her own for president, but would not have been able to run for re-election. Now, however, since we're in the second half of the term, if she were to become the president now, you know, here in the next few months, and you know, Biden is gone, she, because she'll be doing less than 2 years, she could run on her own as president in 2024. If she were to win, she could serve those 4 years and run one more time for re-election, giving her the potential of a total of 10 years as president. Scary thought, I know, but
don't you think that it is a remote possibility? Because I think she would be allowed to be. She would allow them to control her, just like they're controlling Biden.
Right. And
well, she just likes the idea of being president.
Yeah, but see, the thing
like that,
I was going to say, the thing is, though, I think Biden has been there because they have been able to control him. But the concern is that, you know, would be that he is not as controllable as he used to, because, quite frankly, his confusion and some of the stuff that he's doing is getting worse. And when you talk to or listen to some people, like I like to listen to some of Dan Bongino's podcasts. He was a Secret Service agent who was in the presidential protection detail. He has protected presidents. He knows how it operates, and he still has contacts and friends in the Secret Service. And he has reported numerous times that the word is that Biden is getting worse every day, and harder and harder to prop him up, to keep him coherent long enough to trot him out for things. And it may be that it's getting so bad. You know, he spends more time out of the White House than he spends in it. Even when he's supposedly in the White House, he really isn't, because they have set up a set. It's like a television set. In the executive office building, I think, is where it's at. And it's not the Oval Office. It's made to look like the Oval Office. And this came out last year when they were showing him with blooming bushes, you know, flowers on the bushes outside his window. And it was in wintertime. You don't have that because that was the backdrop they had for the set. And somebody showed pictures of the studio where you can see the White House Oval Office set there. And then just down in the same large room was a set for the press briefing room. And there were a few other sets for other things set around the White House, which prompted the question, why do they do it there and not in the White House, which is just a stone's throw away, and yet they're doing it there. Maybe in there they're able to control things better. Who knows what? But it does seem odd that that's happening. And perhaps if they're getting ready to get rid of him, she's going to be brought in with the understanding, toe the line, and you can stay president. Otherwise, we'll get rid of you too.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And also, the Republicans took over the House, and though McCarthy was not my favorite for Speaker, the 20 or so Republicans that held out, these people are heroes. Later on, I might look at a list of things that have happened as a direct result of their holdout, good things. And one of them is looking into some of these things, and perhaps the fear was that their investigation would turn up these classified documents, so they want to get ahead of the curve and control the narrative more by releasing them themselves. So there's all kinds of theories out there, but one thing I do know, the world is getting more and more bizarre and more confusing. And I think it's leading more and more up until the time when people are going to be crying out for somebody who will make sense of it all, and they won't care who he is, and that'll be how the devil will be able to bring the Antichrist into power. Of course, those who know Christ as their Savior are going to be taken out of the world before that happens. So we need to watch what's happening and pray and do the best that we can in the time that God gives us. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You explained that so well. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, you know, we appreciate your call, and we appreciate looking into these things, and certainly appreciate the prayers there. And, of course, you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got a break coming up here shortly, and we've got another caller on the other side of the break, but we've got plenty of time. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. But in the meantime, let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I hope there'll be some things there that'll be a blessing to you. But don't go away. We've got another hour and a half of the program to go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And just to remind you that you can find out more about us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to past programs there. And if you're not able to stay up till midnight, you can listen to those later on there as well. You can listen to our Friday program there. We're on every Friday afternoon here on AM 1220 The Word. Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And then, of course, there's other materials there, various articles and links to different things. And also, there's a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, of course, the primary sponsor of the program. And there's also, you can find out more about East Coast Pizza, which is another sponsor of our program. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to some more things here, and we'll be talking about some of the things that are happening on the world scene, and we're going to be talking about some of the things that God is doing And hopefully we'll touch on a number of other things that some will be a blessing to you tonight. Hopefully something will encourage you in your walk with the Lord, or if you're someone that's searching, hopefully something we talk about to help point you to Christ, that you can find Christ as your Lord and Savior as well. All right. Well, again, that number is 888-677-9673, and we have Terry who's waiting patiently for us. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening. How are you?
I am doing well. Good evening. How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad. I burnt myself on the stove a little bit in the oven. I touched the burner in the oven, burnt three of my fingers.
Ooh,
a little bit.
That's a painful thing. Been there, done that.
I was going to say that we know who the author of Confusion is.
Well, you know, and that's a very good point, because I was talking with somebody after church tonight, after our evening service, and he was saying something about all these people are so confused. I'd like to know who's behind it. And we were kind of laughing and said, yeah, I sure would. And then thought for a minute, and I said, wait a minute, you just touched on it. We know who's behind it. You know, it's not God. Satan's the author of confusion. And so that's who's behind it. And we
wrestle not against flesh and blood, but our spiritual weaknesses in high places.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we see that on display, it seems like, on almost a daily basis, doesn't it?
And Satan is the god of this world.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people forget that. And of course, he's a god with a little g. He is not
right.
Like some falsely teach, falsely believe that Satan is the opposite, the evil counterpart of God. You have Jehovah God, who's good, and then you have his equal but opposite counterpart, Satan or Lucifer, who's evil. And nothing can be further from the truth. God, yes, is absolutely good, and Satan, yes, is absolutely evil, but Satan in no way compares to God in terms of size or power. God is omnipotent and omnipresent, and Satan is neither of those.
And there's only one God.
Yeah, and
one God and Savior, Lord Jesus
Christ. And the reason Satan is called the God of this world with a little g, and he's also called the prince of the power of the air, I think it's got a little P there, it's because he has a measure of authority. He has a measure of sovereignty in this world, but it's limited. It's not authority and not all power. It's very limited in what he has. Because God has allowed him a certain measure of power at this time. And then, of course, one day that power and that authority, that realm of action that Satan now is currently allowed will be curtailed completely, and he will be lying in the lowest depths of hell. So...
Is the River Nile, is that a sea or a river?
Well, the Nile is a river, and it's one of the major rivers of the world. There's some parts of it. I'm sorry?
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say there's some parts of it where it's fairly large, just like if you look at the Mississippi River here in North America, largest river on the North American continent. You know, it's very large, or the Amazon down in South America, I think the largest river in the South American continent. The Nile is one of the largest rivers on the African continent. And, I suppose if you go up to, the large dam there, late at night drawn a blank here on it, Lake Nasser. The dam that's there. But at any rate, it's that's almost like an inland sea there, where they've dammed up a huge quantity of water. And then, of course, the Nile, as it comes down and branches out on the delta there, it branches out into a number of channels. So,
yeah. Well, one reason why I brought that up is because you mentioned Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Senile.
Oh, senile. Well, you know, I mean, it would be looking at the Nile, I guess.
And, but, you know,
he's in denial.
Democrat, Democrats accuse the Republicans of is what they're guilty of.
Actually, if you want proof of that, Representative Schiff, who has been wrong in just about everything, leading the charge to impeach Donald Trump on more than one occasion, claiming that he had absolute proof, and it's in my office, and I'm going to, and he had absolutely nothing. And then he had, of course, the infamous, touched up, that's being kind, version of the conversation between Donald Trump and Zelensky in the Ukraine, trying to imply all this stuff that took place, none of which took place. And he has been so consistently wrong on these issues. They're booting him off the House Intelligence Committee that he used to, I believe, chair under the Pelosi speakership. He was just livid. He laid into the Republicans. He accused them of everything that he has been doing, everything that Pelosi was doing, everything that the left was doing. He was accusing the Republicans of doing. And in other words, it's projection. He's projecting on them what he himself is guilty of.
And your new Speaker of the House, McCarthy.
Yes.
I didn't realize that they hired a Democrat and a Republican. I'm being funny when I say that.
Oh. Yeah.
Sounds like he's a lefty and a righty.
Well, you know, and again, like we talked about previous programs, this is a case of the system doing what it's designed to do, because had he been confirmed on the first vote, he would have probably been a speaker along the lines of Tim Ryan. Paul Ryan, anyway, Speaker Ryan, and he would probably went along those lines or something, and he would have been much more left, moderate leaning than he is now. But because of the holdouts of the Conservative Freedom Caucus Republicans, he is forced to at least acknowledge some things on the right and move towards some of the things on the right. It's having an effect. One of the things that took place, this is a win for the military. The COVID vaccine mandate is being eliminated in the military. So that's certainly a win.
That's a good thing.
Getting Ilhan Omar booted off from the Foreign Affairs Committee, that's a good thing. Getting Swalwell, who was sleeping with a Chinese spy for a while, and Schiff off from the Intelligence Committee, that's a good thing. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody won't negotiate trying to get them back in some lesser positions. But at any rate, there are some things that happened. They defunded the 87,000 IRS agents that the administration wants, and some things like that. So there's a variety of things that are going on there, and it'll be interesting to see how things work out.
Unless I misunderstood something, there were two things. One thing that I might have misunderstood, maybe I misunderstood, but it sounds like he's on the side of the gay rights and on women's rights.
Yeah, he has women's been. And again, by having the holdouts that forced him to move more to the right, that has moderated him on some of those positions. So had they not done what they did, we would have probably seen him go much more toward the left in some of his things. But here's some things that he's done just in the past week or so. They've put in a new rules package that ensures that the power no longer rests with just a few, but with all the members. One of the things that they've done is made it so that any one member can call for a potential vote on the speaker as to whether or not he can stay speaker. You used to have to get a number of people together. This kind of, prevents him from running too far to the left. They repealed and stripped the funding, as I said, of the 87,000 new IRS agents. That's because the U.S. houses where all financial legislation in the United States Capitol comes from or originates. And he also enacted some legislation to protect the unborn, which probably wouldn't have happened, and legislation to protect the Strategic Oil Reserve and to bar the president from depleting it and selling oil from it to places like China. So there's some tremendous things that have been going on. And again, were it not for these Republican holdouts that forced several votes, we would likely not be seeing these things. And they're supposed to be moving on some things with the border. Of course, Biden and Trudeau were down in Mexico just recently with the Mexican president. And it was amazing when they arrived in, first before going there, Biden was in El Paso, and I'm preaching through the Gospel of John in our church on Sunday mornings right now. And this morning I was in John chapter 1, where John was being asked, John the Baptist being asked by the Jews who he was, and was he Elias, was he the prophet, was he the Christ, and these different things which he denied, and they wanted to know who he was. He said in verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And so we were talking about that, how in Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about this and how that back in the ancient days when the king was coming to some of the different parts of his realm where he hadn't been for a while or maybe never been, they would send somebody ahead like as an advance man to make arrangements because the king is coming, and they clean up this area and make it look more presentable because the king is coming, straighten out this road a little bit, fill in those potholes because the king is coming, get things ready because the king is coming. I remember we had a general that was coming to visit our base. One time we thought President Reagan was going to possibly come. And, oh, man, they had us in there scouring everything, cleaning stuff, getting stuff put away because this high-ranking general and possibly the president was coming. And, ooh, we had to get everything ready. And so John's role was to get everything ready. Well, I said, now try not to be political about this, but when Biden went down to El Paso before going to that meeting down in Mexico, they had people went down there and they cleaned up the streets. They got rid of the trash and the dirt and everything, and they got all the homeless off the streets. They got all the illegal immigrants that were under the bridges in different places and overflowing from the shelters, and they got them out of town, and they got everything cleaned up and made everything look really nice so that when he got there, he didn't see any of the problems. Yeah, because the president was coming. So kind of the same sort of deal. And then, of course, they went down to Mexico. And then somehow or another, they just didn't have time to really spend much time discussing the open borders. And I guarantee the border between Canada and the United States is probably a lot more secure than the border between the United States and Mexico.
Right now, anyway.
Yeah. I can remember when you could travel into Canada just on a driver's license. You go to the border, you give the driver's license, they'd let you in, and then
9/11.
Yeah, that was prior to 9/11. And of course, now it's a lot more difficult to transfer between Canada and the United States. I always thought it was interesting. There's a little tiny piece of the state of Minnesota, and I forget what the name of the lake is, but it's kind of like on the western end of Lake Superior, and sort of on the north shore. And it's a vagrancy of the way the line was drawn, the border between Canada and the United States, and it comes across, and there's this little peninsula that juts down into the lake from the north. And because it juts down into the lake, it goes south of the line. And so it's a little tiny place that's the United States, but the only way you can get to the rest of the United States is either by boat, air, or by land, you have to actually drive through Canada and up around the end of the peninsula and then around the shore of the lake to drive down into the United States. So you have to actually go through Canada to get to the rest of the United States to for this little place. And they were talking about how school kids used to have to get on the bus, and the bus had to cross the international border between there and Canada, and then the border between Canada and the United States every day to go to school. And then the way back, they had to cross the border into Canada and then cross the border from Canada and the United States to get home at the end of the day. And I always thought, man, what a place to live. That would be interesting.
Well, you know, if I wanted to go down to where you are, I'd have to go all, all the way down to Windsor.
Yeah, yeah, cross there into Michigan.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they had a bridge going across Chatham to the United States straight across.
Well, you can catch the ferry from, where does it come out of? I want to say somewhere toward London, I think. Or no, maybe that's not right. But it comes over to, if you look at the islands in the western end of Lake Erie, there's a large...
Thousand Islands?
What's that?
The Thousand Islands.
In Ohio, we have, you know, the Bass Islands and then Kelly's Island, which is the largest of the U.S. islands. It's a part of Ohio. And then just north of there, I'm trying to think of the name of the island. It's the largest island in Lake Erie. And it's really not very far from the Bass Islands, Middle Bass, South Bass, things like that, and Kelly's Island. You can see it from Kelly's Island very clearly. And there's a ferry that actually runs between all the islands out there. You can actually go from, I think, Marblehead or Sandusky or whatever, depending on where you're getting it. You can take that over to the Canadian island. And then from there, I think you can get back to the mainland of Canada going north. So there you go. Or you can just get a canoe and paddle like the Indians did.
Yeah, I was going to bring up some scripture, okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've been all over the place tonight, so we get some scripture time.
Enough of politics?
No. Yeah, I mean...
Politics all day. I like studying what's going on in the United States, most and Canada, but I study more of what's going on in the United States than Canada, unfortunately.
Well, we pray for both countries, so...
Right. Yeah, there's a lot going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's all signs of the times, I believe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like you said before, we are fighting against spiritual powers and wickedness in high places. And, you know, it's just evident. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons I find politics so fascinating as a pastor, as a believer, as a Bible student, because when I see these various things taking place, I believe, at the manifestation, of what Paul wrote there in Ephesians, where he said, I turn over there, chapter 6, verse 12, where he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And we're seeing the manifestations of these things. And you know, how can you read the scripture and see what's going on and not see that we're doing exactly what Paul said here, wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're seeing that every day.
It doesn't seem to be getting any better.
No. I mean, sports is one thing, but, you know, at the end of the day, what really does that affect you? But
yes, that's right.
When you see what's happening, you know, just look at the deal with abortion that we talked about here. Speaker McCarthy has said that they just passed legislation this past week. I don't know all the details on it, to help protect the unborn in this country. Doesn't that have an impact on people? It sure does. It protects the lives of unborn children. When Pelosi was Speaker of the House and the Democrats controlled the House, they removed legislation that was in place protecting the unborn children. Didn't that affect people? Yeah. Untold numbers of unborn children were slaughtered, literally sacrificed on the altar of convenience and pleasure. And, you know, I just can't figure out what it is, the bloodlust that the Democrat Party in this country has for abortion, for the slaughter of unborn children. I can't understand, other than the fact that we're fighting against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what we're seeing. So, but anyway, go ahead. We got a few minutes left in the hour here.
I was just going to mention the deity of Jesus Christ. And
there's
a lot of scriptures that I've been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to write down these scriptures, and if people want to write down these scriptures, if they have a pen and a piece of paper, I can give some scriptures.
Yeah, and just give them real quick here, because we're going to run out of time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Isaiah 9:6.
Mm-hmm.
Micah 5:2.
Yeah, Micah 5:2.
Isaiah 7:14.
Mm-hmm.
John 1:14. John 8:58. John 17:5. Exodus 3:14. Hebrews 1:3. Just a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 2:11. Colossians 2:9. And Revelations 1:8, 17, 18, etc. And Philippians 2:11. Colossians 2:9.
Uh-huh.
Well, I did say Philippians 2:11. Colossians 2:9.
Yeah. And
I'll explain.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, those are excellent verses, and I may get into some things dealing with 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And the importance of that verse in dealing with the deity of Christ, and exactly what the Godhead is. A very important thing to understand. And so we may pick that up in the beginning of the next hour. There's this attack that we see on the deity of Christ, and part of the reason for it is, again, the spiritual wickedness that we see in the world. We see the attacks upon the deity of Christ. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 2, hereby we know ye the Spirit of God. He says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where you should have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. It's active in the world today, and it's called the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it's being withheld, it's being restrained by the Holy Spirit of God, working through the believers. We're called to be salt and light. He works through us to restrain the Antichrist. Hey, Terry, thanks for calling. We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back. Don't go away.